Welcome to Homeschool Insights, the show that brings you biblical homeschool encouragement in under 10 minutes. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton. Homeschool Insights is sponsored by CTC Math. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com and try it for free. Now on to the show.
When you said Ray Comfort was going to be on, I'm like, I want to sit at this man's feet.
I know.
Because so the kids and I were just this week doing the armor of God. And when we got to the shoes, right, the shoes to go out and spread the gospel of peace, I'm like, freeze. We're going to go watch some YouTube videos of Ray Comfort because this man's got his shoes on.
Yeah.
And he's out there and he's spreading the word and he's sharing the gospel. And I really think, honestly, for homeschool moms, one of the best ways that we can teach our kids to share the gospel, well, one, we have to light that fire in them. The Holy Spirit has to get a hold of them and they have to know and love the truth as we do in order to share it. But then I think just sitting down and watching Ray do what God has gifted him to do and just learning to have, because honestly, it's scary, Ray. Sometimes it's scary to go out there and share with people because we're fearful that we're not going to have the right words. We're fearful that we're going to get shut down. And when we watch you, we're like, the guy does get shut down sometimes, but that doesn't matter because he's being obedient to God. But what I love about watching you with the kids is you have answers for everything. And it's because your answers come from the word of God. So I want to know, Ray Comfort, when you're out there, do you ever get nervous?
All the time. Yeah, I get discouraged. I get nervous, but it's like being a firefighter. If you're a firefighter and you show up to a fire and you see a mother and her two kids on the fifth story screaming for help, flames leaping around them, you're going to be terrified, but you don't go home. You get that ladder and you get up and you rescue her. And the Bible says others having compassion, pulling them from the fire, hating even them and spotted by the flesh. So a firefighter stays because he's a firefighter. He ignores his fears. He ignores his nervousness. You know, one of my motivations is just what Jesus did for me on the cross. That's it's the fire of gratitude. It's the fuel, high octane fuel of gratitude that causes me to put my foot down and move for the kingdom. Let me tell you about something I do, and it's going to make me sound like an idiot to those of you who don't love dogs. If you love a dog, if you're a dog lover, you can identify with this. If you're not, you say the guy's here.
You're talking to one dog lover and one not dog lover.
Okay.
But continue on.
But I talk to my dog. He talks to me, and you say, what, are you weird? Well, he tells me when there's someone at the door. He tells me when there's a cat. Tells me he wants to eat. He speaks a different language. He speaks bark. I speak English. But one thing I love doing, and this is where it's going to get weird, is we've got a great big sheepskin rug. I lie on the rug, and when I lie on the rug, he immediately comes around because he knows what's going to happen. He comes next to me. His tail is wagging like you wouldn't believe, and he lies down beside me. I grab him by the ears. I pull him close to me, and we go eye to eye, and I begin to talk with him. And he just absolutely loves it. And I say, Sam, we went out on the bike today. And when I say bike, I see him processing the information in his eyes. I say, you saw a cat, didn't you? And I say, cat, immediately I see in his eyes, he's talking cats in his eyes. And he just loves it because I come down to his level and we have this eye-to-eye contact. Well, God came down eye-to-eye with us in Christ. And if that doesn't make your tail wag, I don't know what's wrong with you. The incarnation is the most exciting thing, that Almighty God became a human being to speak to us and to go eye to eye with us and show us how much he loves us. And he's commissioned us to take the gospel to every creature. So it should be an overflow. My cup runs over. I want to share the gospel of the unsaved. Let me share something that has dealt with my fears better than anything else. And it's just really weird because of what happens on the YouTube channel. I am like a parrot. Almost all our YouTube witnessing clips are pretty similar. I say to people, do you think there's an afterlife? Almost always start with that. Literally hundreds of times, one after the other. Do you think there's an afterlife? That's where I begin. And in the comments, people will say, I'm scared. I don't know what to say. How do I start? And I say, well, what I do is I say, do you think there's an afterlife? It's very, very simple. That question has helped me deal with my fears. It's taken Goliath down to Zacchaeus in an instant. Because I just asked a person a question. Do you think there's an afterlife? I didn't mention God, Jesus, heaven, hell, the Bible, sin, righteousness, judgment, holiness, all these things that make them and me feel uncomfortable. I've just asked for his opinion. Do you think there's an afterlife? So this is how I begin with a complete stranger. I'm not at the college. I'm just at the gas station, there's a guy standing there, and I say, "Hi, how you doing?" He says, "Good." I say, "I'm Ray. What's your name?" He says, "Fred." I say, "Fred, got a question for you." He says, "What?" I said, "Do you think there's an afterlife?" See, I believe in relationship evangelism. I believe in building a relationship, not for 2 years, but for 2 minutes or even half a minute. This really works. And the reason I don't wait 2 years with relationship evangelism is that Fred could die tonight. So there's a sense of urgency. Now, Fred immediately responds, and this happens hundreds of times with something like this. "I don't know." I said, "Do you think about it?" He says, "All the time." His "all the time" dissipates my fears. Suddenly I realize Fred's not the Antichrist. He hasn't stabbed me in the throat with a knife. He's a human being with a will to live, and he wants to find an answer to death. I said, "Well, do you believe in God?" And he says, yeah. "Do you think there's a heaven?" "Yeah, could be." "Are you going there?" "Oh, I hope so." "So, well, let's find out, Fred. Do you think you're a good person?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a really good person. The Bible says every man will proclaim his own goodness." So I said, "Well, let's look at the Ten Commandments, see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. How many lies have you told in your life?" And he says, "Oh, multitudes. Ever stolen something?" "Yeah, in the past." "So have you ever used God's name in vain?" "Yeah, it's a bad habit." "So, Fred, you've used God's holy name as a cuss word? That's terribly serious." "One ago, Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart." "Ever done that?" "It's all the time." "Say, Fred, I'm not judging you. You've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. You've got to face God on Judgment Day. What are you going to do? You die in your sins. The Bible says you'll end up in hell. What can you do?" He says, "Well, I don't know. What should I do?" "So, well, here comes the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He took the punishment for the law that we broke. You just need to repent and trust in him, and God will grant you everlasting life." That's the gospel in a nutshell. And so you go over it and over it in your mind. You look in the mirror and witness to yourself. You preach in the shower. When you're driving your car, you give these thoughts. And you think about these things so that you become proficient. It's like, you know, you said I was gifted, and thank you for that, but it really isn't a gifting. It's like saying to a marathon runner who's just broke the tape, 28 miles, just broke the tape, and you run up to him and say, "You are gifted." He's going to turn around and with indignantly say to you, "What do you mean gifted? I have run 30 to 40 miles for years every week. I haven't eaten chocolate cake for years. I've denied myself. I've fallen over. I've bruised my knees. I've had sweat and pain and suffering to get here. It's been hard work." And exactly the same applies with the gospel. You look at me and say, "Man, you break the tape. You are so gifted. You're so proficient." No. It's been many years of sweat and suffering. I've put my foot in my mouth. I've bruised my knee. I've fallen over. I've offended people. I've done things wrong. But I've got up again and I've learned. That's good news because it means you can do exactly the same thing. Just start running. Just start doing it. Biggest way you'll grow is just say to someone, say to some stranger, "How are you doing? My name's so-and-so. Do you think there's an afterlife?" And let them talk for a minute and then answer their questions and share the gospel. And you'll grow just like swimming. You don't swim by standing on the side of the pool. You have to jump in. Same with the gospel.
Thanks for joining us for Homeschool Insights. For more great homeschool inspiration and resources, listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And be sure to watch the film Schoolhouse Rocked: The Homeschool Revolution.